Hey, we've got a real treat this morning. We've got a family that are dear to Amy and I from New Zealand, but they've been in Australia, they've been in UK, and now they're in Indonesia. The Knotts, would you like to come and join us? And as they come to the stage, we're going to show a video of some of the stuff that they are up to, and then they're going to introduce themselves. So if you could roll that video, that would be amazing. Amazing. Why don't you introduce yourself and the family that isn't here yet or with you at the moment?
Morning, church. Thank you for having us with you this morning. We are Elam pastors from New Zealand, and I was actually born in the UK and came to the UK 2 years ago. We left in 2022 last year, and it's amazing to be with you, and we're now missionaries in Indonesia. That's so this is my Richard. Sorry, bit nervous. I shouldn't be. Yeah,
relax. They're a good family. We're a good family.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Marisa. This is our daughter Arielle. She's the youngest of three. We have two sons, Elijah, who is 20, nearly 21, actually. Time goes fast. And Ethan, who's 19, and they are both studying in New Zealand at university. How long did you want us to... That's good. Do you want to say something?
Hello.
We're going to hear from Arielle a little bit later. Yeah, as a church, we understand the importance of passing on the baton of legacy from generation to generation. And the ministry that you're doing and the work in Indonesia is one of an incredible story. Would you mind sharing part of that journey and I guess what's brought you to do that work now?
So in the Elam Church in Wellington, in 1958, Marisa's grandparents went and started a Bible school in Indonesia. Now there's 277 million people in Indonesia, and it's the largest Muslim country in the world, about 90% Muslim. And so they went there in faith and started the school. And then in about 1984, Marisa's parents took over the Bible school and have been leading that for 40 years. And now they are in their 80s. And so we have come to Indonesia since last September to help the work there. So,
yeah. Do you want to share any more just around the history of even right back to...
He's the historian, so I'll let him talk about going right.
Because there's a deep Elam connection that's come out of a place of revival, and this is where we find ourselves now with your story.
I don't know if you know Elam history, but Pastor Gilbert Dunk was in Guernsey in the Second World War, and the Germans arrived, and he was about to be shipped off to a German concentration camp, but another minister on the island, a Methodist minister, an older man, said, "I'm older, my kids have grown up and gone, I'll go." That Methodist minister went, and he actually died in a concentration camp in Germany, and Pastor Gilbert Dunk was able to come to New Zealand with his family, and that was the beginnings of Elam in New Zealand in the 50s. And that very first church was actually planted way back before by Marisa's great-great-great-grandfather. So there's this amazing legacy since 1922, actually, when Smith Wigglesworth came to New Zealand, and that same first church was the couple, Marisa's grandparents, that came out of that church and went to Indonesia. So it's a whole lot of information, sorry, but it's amazing what God has done and is doing there.
And I shared a number of months ago that it was Gilbert Dunk's son who sung at a rally in New Zealand that my mother gave her life to the Lord at. And that began the DeVita legacy, because my father, around about the same time, gave his life to the Lord, about 18 years old. My mum was 16. And so there's deep connections. And we were talking about it yesterday, and we just wondered in this place how many threads of legacy there would be. And I want to encourage us in our conversations, begin to talk about your legacy. Now, for some of you, you're saying, I'm starting it right now. Like, I'm the first of my family that have given my life to Christ. That's amazing and that's incredible. And there's also deep legacy that I think some of us need to talk about, because I think there would be some stories that would interlink and connect. So it was just so good to hear that.
Yeah. Can I just add to that, Mike? You know, we actually didn't really, it's kind of been an unraveling in a way. So when we started to step out in this new mission, really, that God has called us to, Rick kind of went back a little bit. I don't even know how it started, but and he sort of traced this thread, you know, of what the Holy Spirit was doing way before us, because it's never just about us. You know, we have a generational God. And then to find out that we play a part in this tapestry, if you like, of God's plan for the world. And, you know, I just want to encourage you, church, that even though, like Mike was saying, maybe you don't think you have a legacy, but someone along the line probably prayed for you, and someone along the line, you know, had God's heart to bring you into his kingdom. And so there is a spiritual legacy as well. So anyway, all that to say, you know, I think it's never just about us, and God is opening our eyes to see what he's wanting to do in the nations and what is possible. So yeah, God bless.
Amazing. Tell us about the work that you're doing. Why are you in Indonesia? What does it look like and the ministry that you're involved with?
So, love what you said, Norman. You know, you never pictured yourself as a church planter. So we never pictured ourselves as missionaries. We were pastor's kids. And, okay, so my parents were missionaries, but actually we're musicians and worshippers at the very heart of it. And we were living here in the UK, and we'd only moved here a year, and then myself and Ariel went to Indonesia for my dad's 80th birthday. And at that time, the board of this organization that we are now working with sat us down and asked basically if we would come and help lead this mission, which is, I think there was a map, if you wouldn't mind putting the map up. So we're on two sites. We have a Bible college on the island of Java. That's the main island of Indonesia. So two dots. So the bottom dot is the one that my grandparents started. It's a Bible college, which is now also a Christian university, which is an incredible work of God when you think that it is a Muslim nation, it's the largest Muslim nation in the world, to have a government accredited Christian university is a real stake in the ground. So, and then the second dot is on the island of Borneo, and there we have, my parents started a work which is a kindergarten, primary school and middle school. We have almost 500 children. This was started about 20 years ago, and 130 of those children live on site because they come from very remote locations, like 3 days up the river in a canoe, and you know, having to walk even further, hours and hours before they can get to our school. So their parents will bring them, even Muslim families bring their children to our Christian school knowing fully well that they will be taught the Bible, and because our Christian school has a good name and an education is really important to the Indonesians. So they'll bring them to this school, and the children leave knowing Jesus and knowing the word. Sorry, I forgot the question.
That's okay. It's good. It's going well. It's going well. There's a picture of a young girl, and there's a story that goes with that. Would you?
Yeah, like to sure. Share that? So this is Vanya and Ariel, and Vanya is 8, and she and a couple of others are probably some of the youngest in our school, and they live on campus. Her parents are pastors, way in a dense little tiny village. And she and many others don't get to see their parents for sometimes a whole term, a whole semester, because their parents just can't afford to come or it's just too far. And so this is the sacrifice that some people are making to A, serve the Lord, or to, you know, give their children an education. And this little girl just caught our heart because, you know, she's 8. She doesn't see her parents, hardly ever, but just so joyful. Yeah, and Ariel got to teach some of these kids. Do you want to say anything about that?
Sorry for putting you on the spot. I wouldn't say I really teached. I just helped out at some of the kindergarten classes. But when, yeah.
Well, you've got the microphone. I'll ask you a question now so you can get it over and done with. What's it like to live in Indonesia? And maybe what's one thing that you're loving and what's one thing that's been a challenge? How's that?
It's an amazing experience, I think, just to be part of a whole different culture. And Mum's fluent in Indonesian because she grew up there, but Dad and I are trying to learn the language at the moment, which has been difficult, but we're getting there. And I think it's just been amazing to see. It was quite a big step of faith going there, and I don't think I really knew like what we were going to do, but it's been amazing seeing God just work through like the whole way, and he's provided for every single little thing along the way, which has been really amazing. And I think one cool thing is we have monkeys that walk past our house every morning, so they do their little route and we get to see them, which is pretty cool. Yeah,
it's amazing. Come on, let's encourage Ariel. Let's be honest, most of us would be terrified to sit in front of a crowd this size and share, so thank you. And we love you. We love the heart that you carry. You know, from a young age, you've been a neat friend for Rosie. And as pastors, kids, they've kind of walked the journey together, but we have seen you blossom into an amazing woman of faith. And you carry the DNA of your parents, and it's so evident in the way you conduct yourself and the way you treat people. And we just think you're amazing, Ariel. We really do. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, that's the tough bit over. Mum and Dad can speak now, so. But you can still stay. You can still stay. You know, throughout your life, you've stepped into many different spaces, uncomfortable. Like you said, put Rick behind a guitar and Rooster behind a keyboard, and that's your happy space. But then God says, I want you to pastor a church. And then he says, I want you to move city, country, and change. What are the scriptures or how has God spoken to you as you've gone through this journey? Because I think all of us in our lives, at some point, we need to be made uncomfortable in where we're at. And even if it is for a short term, maybe to do something in mission, to step out of what we know and what's comfortable. And it puts us into another place of faith. Do you want to just kind of talk in and around that space? Yeah. Feel free to go wherever you want.
Yeah, I sometimes tell myself off when I write, what are you doing, Rick? You know, because you put yourself in the position of pressure and pain, as in, because it's hard work. And I find the hardest is in the night. All around us are mosques. If you've come from an Islamic country, you'll know what I'm talking about. But 3 a.m. in the morning, they start up and they're going up and down the valley. And then loudspeakers on top of the mosques all around you. And what it's done for me is challenged me to pray. And so what I want to encourage you with in my journey is I've put myself into positions where I've had to rely on God, And actually, as I was praying this morning, I was walking around out in the countryside. We're staying, I can't remember the name, but I was praying and I felt God prompt me with the word retrain. And I really felt it was for several people here this morning. Because you can get very comfortable in your job and you know exactly how to do it and you have the income coming in, you've got it all sorted. Yes, you're faithful in following the Lord, but I actually really feel that there's a passion deeper in your heart that goes beyond your job, and that God is actually calling some people into a new vocation. And what you're going to have to do is retrain. And in that process of retraining, you're going to put yourself into the arms of God. You're like, Lord, I need your help, you know. And I just want to encourage some people this morning, if you're feeling comfortable, the best way to get to rely on God is to put yourself purposefully in a position where you have to rely on God. And that's what I've tried to do. And I'll be honest with you, there are some days when I just go, I don't want to be here. And that's just me being real when I'm there. And I'm like, I want to get out. But I just say, well, Lord, you have called me through faith and patience. We achieve the promises. And that's just something for someone this morning. So be encouraged to step out in faith. God bless you.
That's awesome. So Rick's father, Mike Knott, he retired, but that didn't go so well because since then I think he's pastored three churches. And I remember him once preaching and saying, you know, one of the main roles or functions of the Holy Spirit is described as the comforter. And we don't need a comforter if we're comfortable. We need a comforter when we are uncomfortable. He brings comfort to us when things aren't as easy as we would like them to be. And so, yeah, I think that's great, yeah. Any guiding scriptures or do you identify with journeys in the Bible? And yeah.
I think for me it's not so much one or two scriptures, but the big picture. God sent his son Jesus, and then the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus sent his disciples. And so all through the gospel there's the sending, you know. And for me it was like, well, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. And it starts with giving. And the minute we go, this is mine, this is me, I feel like we are restricting what the Lord wants to do. Because it starts with giving. And that means giving what we have, you know. You give your life, you give your money, you give your kids, you just give. And in that gap between self-preservation or knowing what's coming next or being comfortable, there's a gap between that and the unknown. And in that gap is actually where the Holy Spirit works, like you were saying, Mike. And, you know, I want to honour you and Amy because you made this big move across to the other side of the globe and it just doesn't make sense. But, you know, there's mysteries in the ways of the Lord. And I believe that God is calling his church not to so much know what's coming because there's no formula, but to rely on him because he is a good father. And when we know the heart of the Father that gave his only son, then we can trust that we can rely on him, that he's going to look after us and be there for us, even in the very unknown, even in those moments in the dark nights when there's, you know, the sound of the mosque going all around you and there's a heaviness, but God is with you and the Holy Spirit is with you in those moments. So for me, it's not so much a scripture, but the pattern that the Lord, you know, God gave, God sent. If you look at the New Testament, Paul went, and I heard something the other day and it really struck me, but it was in Romans 15, and it talks about his missionary journeys. And in Romans 15:19, it says, from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel. And then it goes down to verse 23, and he says, and there is no place left for me to work in these regions. no place left for me to work. And I'm like, that is so challenging and confronting. One man in 15 years covered the space of this huge, 15,000, I think it was, people. I don't know how many, to be honest, but it just challenged me that, you know, we can always choose church. We can choose. We can choose to follow if we want, where God leads, and it will be stretching, and it will be exciting, but it will also be rewarding.
Amazing, so good. I wonder if by a show of hands we could see how many people have come into the nation of England. Like in your lifetime, so not generations past, but in your lifetime, you and your family have moved into England. How many have made that journey? Just have a look around and just see. You know, there's a lot of hands. I'm looking, probably a quarter of the church here have come from another nation. Amazing, so good. This is what you guys have done, and I remember when we heard through social media you guys were gonna, you know, just leave what you were doing in New Zealand and you were off to the UK. And I remember so many conversations I had, and Amy and I said, these guys are so brave. I don't know if we could ever do that. This was about a year before anything started, but there was something in you going that was the catalyst of you going that left a mark on us. And I just wonder, for all of those who have stepped out, and you know, for many, you've come because there was nothing in your own nation. And for some, you had to leave. It was unsafe where you were and you had to step out. And you've come and you've made UK home. What advice would you give to those that have come and, you know, find themselves in a new culture? And, you know, how much of the old do you leave behind? And what do you bring of yourself? And, yeah, well, talk us through some of your journey there.
I think just immerse yourself in the culture. I remember when we first moved to Indonesia, Dad was saying to not have our house like an English embassy where we eat English food, and, well, not just English, but like we eat our own food and we listen to English music and we talk English and we just stay in our own little bubble. I think it's really easy to get like stuck in your own world, and when it is really hard moving. But I think it's really important to like get into different groups and immerse yourself in church and in other ways that you can stay connected and get to know people here and learn about their stories and learn from them. That's
amazing. So roast meals all day, every day, if you're here in the UK. So what about the richness of the cultures that maybe have been brought into a nation?
The Indonesian people are incredibly welcoming. I mean, I can go from here to the end of the hall in the village and I'll probably get six or seven huge smiles and, hello, mister, you know, or hello, miss, because they don't quite know the difference between mister and miss, which always makes me grin. There's just this richness that I somehow wandered into a local Islamic wedding. Marisa was looking at plants, so I wandered in. I was like, oh, and then I said, oh, I mean, I'm copy. Like, can I have a coffee? And they were just chatting. So there's this discovery when you step out of yourself and out into a culture that you'll be surprised that people, they might look scary, but then if you're bold and you know that you carry the power of the Holy Spirit, that you can go into any place and you're like, g'day, mate, you know, or whatever you do to freak yourself out. I'd encourage you, it's better to be scared than bored. Have a go.
There you go. That's a good one. I like that one. Anyone bored?
Just stand up on the bus and just start saying, hi! You know, I met Jesus last night. You know, got thrown off.
What would you say to somebody considering a step of faith or going on a missions trip or saying, I want to get involved somehow. I want to get out and be a part of what God's doing on mission. We've got our mission week coming up. And we're believing that we're going to see dozens, if not hundreds, of people make decisions for Christ. What would you say to those of us who are maybe a little timid, maybe are quite happy to just stay in that comfort zone and stay in the boat. What would you say, having done it and walked it?
Do it. Just do it. Yeah, I definitely, absolutely obey. Absolutely. Just if God is saying, do something, you know, like, speak to your neighbour or go across the street or go to another city or maybe another country, then just follow his lead. Follow the Holy Spirit because you can trust him and your life will never be the same again. I know for myself, you know, sometimes I think, what on earth am I doing in Indonesia? What have I done today? Sometimes it just feels like we're hitting our heads on a brick wall. But I know God is also doing a work in me and in us. And so, you know, he works in us, through us, and it's great.
The beautiful thing about the Indonesian culture is the collective comes before the individual, and we have to remember that as kingdom people, we are not, it's not me and Jesus. We are the body of Christ. And so I'd encourage you to get with other people and you get strength. There's strength in numbers, right? The weak animal on the edge of the pack always is taken out by the lion, right? So get in groups, get amongst others and say, hey, what do you reckon? Should we have a crack, Nigel? You know, do it with people because we are the body. There's strength. We are the body of Christ. He's building his church. It's not building his individual. So he's building his church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Yeah, amen.
Wonderful. Now, Rick and Marisa are going to sing a song for us in a moment. But before we do that, how can we as a church pray for you or help you as you have this? You've actually got some books for sale.
Yeah. I do. Not very many, unfortunately. So I wrote a biography of my parents' story. So that's kind of the beginning of the mission that we're involved in. So that will be for sale, £10 somewhere, I think, out there.
I was thinking maybe do it as an auction.
Okay, sure. Yeah, you're great at that.
Yeah, we could. £50 for the first book, anybody? No?
And all proceeds go to mission. There will also be a flyer out there. We have students from all over Indonesia, but predominantly from the outer islands, like Papua. Have you heard of Papua? And from... You've probably heard of Timor-Leste. Well, the other side, the Indonesian side, is Timor. We have mostly students in our university from these islands, and they come and they can't actually afford university. So we do need support for the students. We need support for our children in school. So, you know, if you feel like getting involved with that, we would love your help with that if you want to adopt a student or adopt a child. You want to say anything?
Yeah. Yes, I've got a table out there and come and have a chat. Grab your cake and come and have a chat. And that'd be amazing. We'd love to pray for you as a family and then you can minister in song. So church, why don't you just stretch out your hands and maybe a couple of the elders can come and join me. And yeah. Come on, Al and Heather, why don't you come? Let's just pray for these guys. You know, maybe there's something in your heart too you're just believing for, you know, to step out of that comfort zone into that maybe slightly difficult place. Why don't you receive this prayer as well and let this be a step of faith for you. So Father, we thank you so much for this amazing couple, this amazing family who have committed their lives to saying yes to you. Lord, as I've stepped out into the uncomfortable, as I've stepped into these places where it would seem impossible, Lord, you have come through. Father, I thank you for their desire to be a part of that culture, that community. Lord, I thank you that they're not just wanting to come and bring what they know, but they're coming to learn and to grow. Lord, thank you for their desire to learn the language and to embed themselves in the culture and the community. Father, I pray as they do that, it would be so recognized by the people. Father, we thank you already for the testimonies. Lord, that even the witness of teachers in that school that Muslims are saying, we see that you have the truth. We see that what you carry is what is right. Father, I pray for that boldness, the boldness of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses as they share, as they speak. Father, we pray for signs and wonders and miracles. Lord, as they lay hands on the sick, may they be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray they would boldly proclaim the gospel, the good news that completely transforms communities. Lord, we pray for others to join and partner with them. Lord, I pray that their leadership gifts would rise, Lord, as they raise up and they send out new leaders, Lord, into, Lord, the nation of Indonesia and the islands and all of the different regions. Father, there would be missionaries that would go out to make a difference and to have an impact on the nation and the nations around them.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, that when you step in faith, you meet us in faith. Father, we just pray for a special anointing upon this lovely couple, Lord, and beautiful family. Father, we just pray that you're going to touch them with a touch of heaven. They just know what it is to have a prophetic calling upon their life, Lord. They're just going to be able to move within the Spirit, so they do become bilingual, Lord. Part of heaven and part of this earth, Lord. But Lord, let your anointing just flow through each one of them, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, as they step out, they do sometimes do it in fear. But Lord, you meet them every step of the way. But Father, we just pray for increase upon them. We also pray against any delay, Father, that you have for them. Lord, any delay, Lord, that the blessing is going to come to them, Lord, financially, spiritually, Lord, physically, Lord. We just pray there's going to be a divine order come upon them as a family. Just pray for a lovely protection over this couple, Lord. As it were, put a spiritual wedding ring on their finger. Just anoint them as a couple, Lord. Let them move together as one. And Lord, when they feel sometimes that they're, doing things in anxiousness or in concern and worry, Lord, you just start bringing the peace in, Father, that passes all understanding, that'll keep their hearts and their minds in the knowledge of you. So we just want to bless these guys, the beautiful daughter and the children, Lord. We just pray them, Lord, when they go back, Lord, into the mission field, you're there every step of the way. So just wrap them, Lord, in the protection of heaven. We just pray for that in your precious name. Amen.
Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you for this amazing family. Lord, you have set them apart. And I just pray your hand to be upon each one of them. I thank you, Lord, that you have them covered. You have them covered in your love. You have them covered in your protection. Father, you surround them with mercy. You surround them with grace. And Lord, whatever they do, Lord, you go before them. You are within them. You surround them. And I thank you, Father, that they have stepped out in obedience. And because they have stepped out in obedience, Father, you will go before them and you will provide everything that they need. So, Father, we just pray a mighty blessing upon them now in your precious name. Amen.
Fantastic. Well, these guys are now going to minister in song, so please enjoy, and then we will... Brilliant.
So the song we're about to sing is actually the Lord's Prayer, but it's in Indonesian. And I think we have some words so you can kind of understand. Well, I'm sure you'll know what the Lord's Prayer says, but just want to say it's just, my husband is amazing because he doesn't speak the language yet and he's written a song in Indonesian. So there you go.
Karena engkau Lisa, danke Mulia. Berikanlah kami hari ini makanan secukupnya. Ampuni kesalahan kami seperti kami mengampuni orang yang bersalah.
Dan kuat.